The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Welcome, welcome, friends. Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are and whatever time of day it is that you are tuning into the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Welcome. I'm your host, Misty Young. We are broadcasting out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. Right here at KCIW, we are living in the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet. Where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. Thank you today to our sound engineer, Pi White, who's here serving and just such a wonderful volunteer to help at KCIW 100.7 on your radio dial and on the podcast anywhere, anytime, anywhere in the world. It's so nice to be able to have in our little town a professional community radio station. Now look, on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, we serve up a supreme selection of everyday deliciousness and language learning and growth. This is a variety show. So we talk about all kinds of things, whether it's the robots or 5G or safety in the water or the weather or great food and where it comes from. We talk about all kinds of things. And we talk fast here, so you've got to listen fast. Today, we're going to talk about one of my all-time favorite subjects, which is nutrition. That's right, nutrition. Now, I study nutrition. I hold a couple of certificates in nutrition, one from the Health Sciences Academy and another from eCornell, Cornell University. I studied with the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Sciences. That's what it's called. And I have a certificate in plant-based nutrition. Now, why plants? Well, we're gonna find out. One of my all-time favorite people in the nutrition space is a guy by the name of Michael Greger, and he runs a free website called nutritionfacts.org. Now, I really want to encourage you to visit nutritionfacts.org. Every single thing he does is free, and I'm gonna read you part of his introduction to nutritionfacts.org because I want you to understand where this guy came from. His story is so amazing. And then we're going to get into some nitty gritty. You have high blood pressure? Listen up. Got heart issues? Listen up. Diabetes? Listen up. We're going to talk about how to defeat the Grim Reaper today. That's right. We're going to talk about dialing down the Grim Reaper gene. But first, there's more. So we're going to start by talking about nutritionfacts.org. Here is the introduction to nutritionfacts.org written by Michael Greger himself. He says, "Welcome to nutritionfacts.org, which all started with my grandma. I was just a kid when my grandmother was diagnosed with end-stage heart disease." Did you catch that? End-stage heart disease. "And then she was sent home to die. She already had had so many bypass surgeries, was so scarred up inside, there was nothing more the surgeons could do. Confined to a wheelchair, crushing chest pain, her life was over at the age of 65. Then she heard about this guy, Nathan Pritikin, one of our early lifestyle medicine pioneers, and what happened next is chronicled in Pritikin's biography. My grandma was one of the, quote, death's door people, end quote, like Frances Greger, my grandmother, arrived in a wheelchair. Mrs. Greger, this is from the book, Mrs. Greger had heart disease, angina, and claudication. Her condition was so bad, she could no longer walk without great pain in her chest and legs. Within 3 weeks, though, she was not only out of her wheelchair, she was walking 10 miles a day. Now, this is just commentary. You do the math on that one, okay? 65, end stage, no more the surgeons can do, totally scarred up inside, confined to a wheelchair, crushing chest pain, life over at age 65, finds out about Pritikin and says, I'm going to change my life. And in 21 days, out of her wheelchair and walking 10 miles a day. That's unbelievable. This is a picture of my grandmother at her grandson's wedding. Now, there's obviously a picture that you're not seeing, but if you want to see this picture, go to nutritionfacts.org. Look up the video called The Story of nutritionfacts.org, and you'll be able to see this photograph. This photo was taken 15 years after doctors had abandoned her to die. She was given her medical death sentence at age 65. But thanks to a healthy diet, she was able to enjoy another 31 years on this earth until age 96 with her six grandkids, including me. That's why I went into medicine. Now, I'm reading this to you, remember. This is Dr. Greger's story, Dr. Michael Greger. The guy is amazing, and I really want you to understand how deeply this could affect your life. Are you 65? Are you 60? Are you 72? Did you hear what just happened to Dr. Greger's grandmother in a space of 3 weeks? Sent home to die, confined to a wheelchair, totally scarred up inside, and in 3 weeks, she was able to walk 10 miles per day. I have a friend who's suffering right now with all kinds of heart problems, and I asked him recently about, you know, would you be interested in changing your diet to maybe look at extending your life? And he kind of laughed at me. He said, well, what's the point? You know, because he's in his late 60s, and he said, what's the point? And I thought, wow, you know, the point is we live in Brookings, Oregon. This is heaven on earth. Don't you want to get out and explore it? Don't you want to live longer? Love your grandkids, love your wife, have fun in the world. This is a great place. But he didn't think he could do it. He didn't think so. He just blew it off. But this is back to Dr. Greger's story. He said, when Dr. Dean Ornish published his lifestyle heart trial years later, proving with something called quantitative angiography that indeed heart disease could be reversed in the majority of patients without drugs, without surgery, just a plant-based diet and other healthy lifestyle behaviors, Dr. Greger assumed this was going to be the game changer. He says, I mean, my family had seen it with their own eyes, but here it was in black and white, published in one of the most prestigious medical journals. But nothing happened, Dr. Greger says, leaving me to wonder, wait a second, if effectively the cure to our number one killer could get lost down some rabbit hole and ignored, what else might be out there in the medical literature that could help my patients? Remember, he's a doctor by now. He's saying, wow, you know, here's somebody coming out and saying, number one killer can be reversed, can be halted with a plant-based diet. And he's saying, wow, what else is out there that could help my patients? But they might not have the corporate budget driving its promotion. Let me back up. He said, I asked the question, what else might be out there in the medical literature that could help my patients, but just didn't have a corporate budget to drive its promotion? He made it his life's work and his life's mission to find out. For those of you unfamiliar with Dr. Greger's work, he says, every year, I read through every issue of every English language nutrition journal in the world, so busy folks like you don't have to. Man, I tell you what, I really appreciate that he does that. He says, I then compile all the most interesting, the most groundbreaking, and the most practical findings to create new videos and articles every day for my nonprofit site, nutritionfacts.org. Remember, everything there is free. He says, everything on the website is free. There's no ads, no corporate sponsorship. It's strictly non-commercial. I'm not selling anything. I just put it up as a public service, as a labor of love, as a tribute to my grandmother. I hope I can do for your family what Dr. Pritikin did for my family. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that such a cool story? Isn't that neat that someone, you know, he was a young boy and he saw his grandmother being sent home to die. And he said, you know what? He saw his grandmother come back and he said, I want to do something in the world to make a difference. And he did. He went to medical school. And now, as a medical doctor, freely to the whole world, to you and me, this guy researches and he's got a big team of people behind him, a huge team of medical doctors and technology people that read, as you just heard me say, they read every single English literature medical paper published in English every year. They read them all and then they publish the results for you. So I'm not a medical doctor. And, you know, there's a disclaimer at the beginning of this show talking about medical, you know, you got to make medical decisions based on you. But how hard is it to decide to eat an apple? You know, like I eat vegan, for example, I eat plant-based all the time. And people tell me, well, I don't know if I could eat plant-based. I don't know if I could eat vegan. I don't even know what that is. I'm like, dude, you've never eaten an apple? Come on. An apple is a vegan food, right? All right. So we're going to start with this article called Dialing Down the Grim Reaper Gene. Now, before I read this article, and it is an article written by Dr. Michael Greger, and it was published on July 11th, 2019. It's absolutely brand spanking new. But before I read that, I want to tell you that there's a field of medicine called, it's a field of biology called epigenetics. This is such a cool field. I study it. I love it. I'm a proponent of it. And really what it means, the word epi means above. And genetics, of course, is our genes. And so most of us have grown up in this era of gene expression and gene slicing in the human genome and all of that stuff and decoding the human genome. We've kind of grown up with, well, I've got genes for cancer, or, oh, it's in my genes to get diabetes, or, oh, I've got breast cancer genes. No, you don't. You don't. You really don't. What you have is an environment that can be conducive to creating conditions in your body, but it's dependent on what you put into the environment. So the whole field of epigenetics, above genetics, above the gene, says essentially what you put in your body controls the expression of the genes in your body. So what you put around your body, you know, if you go hang out by a campfire and sit and smoke campfire smoke for days and days and days on ends, do you think your lungs might get irritated? Well, yeah, everybody goes, well, yeah, duh, come on. That's an easy one, right? Okay. If you smoke cigarettes for years and years and years, do you think your lungs might have a propensity toward lung cancer? Well, yeah, duh, everybody knows that. We don't give babies cigarettes, right? We don't do that. What about other stuff that you put in your body? What about Coca-Cola? What about meat? What about cheese? What about butter? Just for the sake of discussion, before we get into this Grim Reaper thing, did you know that cow molecules, whether it's beef or butter or milk or ice cream, molecules from the cow are 8 times bigger than human molecules. They're 800% bigger than your own natural molecules in your body. So molecularly speaking, when we put something in our body that comes from a cow, our body goes, hello, there's something in here that I don't really know what to do with. And so we look around at our society today with the increasing rates of diabetes, heart disease, cancer, dementia, all the various modern day chronic problems that we bring on ourselves by the environment that we put in, on, and around our bodies. All right, so let's just jump right in here into dialing down the Grim Reaper gene. Keep in mind epigenetics. Written by Michael Greger, MD, on July 11th, 2019. Dr. Greger says, only about 1 in 10,000 people live to be 100 years old. What's their secret? Well, he discusses this in his video, Animal Protein Compared to Cigarette Smoking, which we'll look at in a little bit. He says, in 1993, a major breakthrough in longevity research was published about a single genetic mutation that doubled the lifespan of a tiny roundworm. Instead of all worms being dead by 30 days, the mutants lived 60 days or longer. This lifespan extension was the largest yet reported in any organism. This Methuselah worm, a medical marvel, is the equivalent of a healthy 200-year-old human. All because of a single mutation? That shouldn't happen. Presumably, aging is caused by multiple processes affected by many genes. But how could knocking out a single gene double lifespan? What is this aging gene? A gene that so speeds up aging that if it's knocked out, the animals live twice as long? It's been called the Grim Reaper gene and is the worm equivalent of the human insulin-like growth factor 1, or just a short name for it, IGF-1 receptor. Remember, insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1. Mutations of that same receptor in humans may help explain why some people live to be 100 and other people don't. So is it just the luck of the draw whether we got good genes or bad ones? No. We can turn on and off the expression of these genes depending on what we eat. Now, Dr. Greger says, years ago, I profiled a remarkable series of experiments about IGF-1. Remember, that's called insulin-like growth factor 1, a cancer-promoting growth hormone released in excess amounts by our liver when we eat animal protein. Men and women who don't eat meat, egg white, or dairy proteins have a significantly lower level of IGF-1 circulating within their bodies, and switching people to a plant-based diet can significantly lower IGF-1 levels within just 11 days, markedly improving the ability of women's bloodstreams to suppress breast cancer cell growth and then kill off breast cancer cells. Did you hear that? I'm going to repeat that. I am seriously going to read that again because that's amazing. Men and women who don't eat meat, egg white, or dairy proteins have significantly lower levels of IGF-1 circulating within their bodies. And switching people to a plant-based diet can significantly lower IGF-1 levels within just 11 days, markedly improving the ability of women's bloodstreams to suppress breast cancer cell growth and then kill off breast cancer cells. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. Do you think about Dr. Greger in the opening of our episode here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on KCIW 100.7 FM? We opened up by talking about Dr. Greger's grandmother in a wheelchair, so much scar tissue, the surgeons already, you know, clapped their hands and washed their hands of her and said no more. And within 3 weeks on a plant-based diet, she was walking 10 miles a day. Here he just told us within 11 days of moving people to a plant-based diet significantly changed their bodies and allowed them to suppress and kill off breast cancer cells. That's amazing. Now listen to this. Similarly, the blood serum of men on a plant-based diet suppresses prostate cancer cell growth about 8 times better than before they changed their diet. You know, this just blows my mind. If you go to your doctor and you say, "Doc, I've got this problem with my prostate. I'm having trouble peeing. I go in, I try, I dribble, dribble, dribble. Look, I'm married to a guy. I've been married to him for 40 years. I get all of that, right?" When you change your diet, you change the internal construct of what's happening inside your body. You change the environment that your cells, that your genes are bathing in. The liquid in your body, the blood, the serum, the water, the lymph fluid, is all changed based on what kind of fuel you put into your body. An apple isn't just a piece of fruit, it's a chunk of medicine. It's full of phytonutrients and fabulous sugars and complex carbohydrates and nutrients that get into your body and nourish and bathe your body. I have goosebumps on my body from head to toe right now just thinking about apples. You know, eating apples, we think we eat more apples than we do. I think we do. I think we see apples, we see, you know, we hear in our minds, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. We see Apple computers, we see a little apple on our phone, we see apples on advertising. And I think in our minds, we think, "Oh, I eat apples, of course, I love apples." But ask yourself this question, really, when is the last time you had an apple? When's the last time you had 2 apples in one day? When's the last time you had 4 apples in one day? Apples are full of fabulous phytonutrients and antioxidants. You know, everybody's like, "Well, what's an antioxidant?" Our bodies rust inside, essentially, and fruits and vegetables are full of anti-rust agents or antioxidants that can help your cells be in a bath of wonderful, nourishing, healing energy and liquid and fuel that changes the constitution of your body. Did you hear what he just said? Similarly, the blood serum of men on a plant-based diet suppresses prostate cancer cell growth about 8 times better than before they changed their diet. That's amazing. However, this dramatic improvement in cancer defenses is abolished if just the amount of IGF-1 banished from their systems as a result of eating and living healthier is added back. So if you're eating healthier, and you're doing a great job putting massive amounts of fruits and vegetables into your diet, the cancer defenses are improved, the ability to kill cancer cells is there. As soon as you go back to an unhealthy way of eating, those things fade away. This is one way to explain the low rates of cancer among plant-based populations. The drop in animal protein intake leads to a drop in IGF-1. Remember, that's that insulin-like growth factor 1, which in turn leads to a drop in cancer growth. You know, cancer is pervasive. Everybody knows somebody who's died of cancer. Maybe you're dealing with cancer. The effect is so powerful that Dr. Dean Ornish and colleagues appeared to be able to reverse the progression of early stage cancer, prostate cancer, without chemotherapy, surgery, or radiation, just a plant-based diet and lifestyle program. Wow. This is, well, you know, like Dr. Greger said, I thought this was groundbreaking, but then nothing happened. And when you think about it, he said nothing happened because there was not a big corporate budget behind it to support and advance the growth of, you know, is there a banana board? Probably. Is there a, brought to you by the Apple, you know, Federation of America? There probably is. Do they have the giant budget that Kellogg's has or Kraft Foods or ConAgra or Tyson Chicken? Probably not that budget. You know, I doubt that the Apple industry has a whole group of researchers behind the scenes. I forget what they call them. It's going to come to my mind here in a second. They call them, they're some kind of engineers. They work on your taste buds and your the mouthfeel, the consistency. I mean, Frito-Lay hires and employs this huge cadre of scientists whose craveability experts, it came to my mind, craveability experts. They have like these hundreds of craveability experts that make sure that the salt is perfect on. Look, who doesn't love Lay's potato chips? I'm telling you right now, you can't just eat one or you can't eat just one, whatever that slogan is. That's not a slogan. That's a threat. It's a dare. It's a dare to you or a threat to you to say you can't eat just one. Because you know what? There is a whole team of scientists behind that product to make sure that the salt is perfect, that the crunch is perfect, that the little bit of oil that comes off that potato, oh God, it's so perfect in your mouth, right? Can you just feel a Lay's potato chip in your mouth? I can. Freaking love Lay's potato chips. They're my downfall. They're the responsible thing for this little piece of midsection girth that I have. It's getting smaller. And there's a piece of me too that's like, well, Lay's potato chips are vegan. Well, they're not healthy vegan food. Come on now. But a plant-based lifestyle is going to make a difference for you. And the Apple board does not have craveability experts. The grape, you know, grape growers don't have craveability experts. The lemon industry probably does not have craveability experts. And there's probably not as much profit in those products either. So we as consumers have to make good decisions on what we put into our bodies. Keep in mind how we opened this episode with this concept of epigenetics above the genes. We control the genes in our body. The genes don't control us. We're not at the mercy of some genetic lottery that, oh, well, you know, diabetes runs in my family. No, steaks run in your family. Cancer runs in my family. No, animal products run in your family. The problem is no one in your family runs. Maybe that's true for you. It might be true for me too. What's true for me is I know I get to decide every day, every fork full, every spoonful, every handful, I decide consciously what's going into my body. And I want you to be thinking about that too, because you're in charge. Look, when we were kids, back to Dr. Greger's article, when we're kids, we need growth hormones to grow. There's a rare genetic defect that causes severe IGF-1 deficiency, leading to a type of dwarfism. It also apparently makes you effectively cancer-proof. Ooh, that's interesting. A study reported not a single death from cancer in about 100 individuals with IGF-1 deficiency. Wow. What about 200 individuals? Nope, none developed cancer. Most malignant tumors are covered in IGF-1 receptors, but if there's no IGF-1 around, they may not be able to grow and spread. Isn't that interesting? So I want to come back and look at this again. A rare genetic defect that causes severe IGF-1 deficiency leading to a type of dwarfism makes you effectively cancer-proof. Isn't that fascinating? And where do we as adults get most of our IGF-1? Note to self. It comes from animal products. This may help explain why lives appear to be cut short by eating low-carb diets. Now, this is interesting. We're sort of shifting gears here right now. We're going to low-carb because there's been this long battle between high-carb, low-carb, good fats, bad fats, this, that. What I really want you to be thinking about is plant-based. Just ask yourself this question right now. Could I eat better? And most people, you know, if I was to just walk along the street right now with you and have my microphone out and say, hey, I'm a reporter from KCIW, and I was just curious to ask you this question. Do you think you could improve your diet? I guarantee you, the vast majority of you would say, yes, I could improve my diet. Yes. Well, yeah, come on. We're all going to say, yeah, I could improve my diet. And then the next question I might ask would be, Well, what would you do to improve my diet? Now, I told you earlier that there's a great question that the answer is always no unless you ask, right? Here's a really great question. This one's such an awesome question, it might even be a writer-downer. And that's really a thing, a writer-downer. This is an awesome question to ask. The question is, but if I did know, what would I do? So I might ask you the question, well, what could you do to improve your diet? And you would say, I don't know. And then I would say, well, if you did know, what would you do? Most people are going to say, and I know this to be true because, as you know, I've got a couple of, you know, certificates in nutrition studies, plant-based nutrition studies. Most people say, I could eat more fruits and vegetables. So if that's the case, and we already know that there's been this whole battle between low-carb, high-carb, Atkins diet, meat only, cheese only, all kinds of animal products, blah, blah, blah. What we find is that, specifically, back to Dr. Greger's article, low-carb diets based on animal sources appear to be the problem, whereas vegetable-based low-carb diets were associated with a lower risk of death. But low-carb diets are high in animal fats as well as animal protein. So how do we know the saturated animal fat wasn't killing off people and it had nothing to do with the protein? Well, what we need is a study that follows a few thousand people and their protein intakes for 20 years or so and see who lives the longest, who gets cancer, and who doesn't. But there had never been a study like that until now. 6,000 men and women over age 50 from across the United States were followed for 18 years. And those under the age of 65 with high protein intakes had a 75% increase in overall mortality and a fourfold increase in the risk of dying from cancer. Does it matter what type of protein? Yes. These associations were either abolished or attenuated if the proteins were plant-derived, which makes sense given the higher IGF-1 factors in those eating excess protein. So most of us have been raised in the dietary times of three square meals. And, you know, I can remember my mom and my mother-in-law saying, you know, well, we have our three squares. And well, what were our three squares? Well, there was always centered around meat, always, you know, so you, in the morning you have your bacon or your ham or your sausage. And then and then you've got some kind of potato and some kind of bread and juice or milk on the side. Like there's two major animal proteins in that, plus the butter on the bread, right? If you're having toast. Then lunch was going to be some kind of, you know, chicken tacos with a little bit of salad, that kind of thing. And then dinner, of course, is steak or burgers or something with meat. I mean, three squares meant meat, 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 cheese, 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 butter, 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 ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. I mean, that's what we were raised on. And when you look around in our society today, what do we see? Cancer, 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 heart disease, heart disease, heart disease, dementia, 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 right? I mean, all these problems that we have are stemmed from, again, coming back to epigenetics, what we're putting in, on, and around our bodies. Wow, I get fired up on this topic, and it doesn't take me long to do it, but I'll tell you, if you're listening here on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial or anywhere in the world on your podcast, thanks for joining here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. You know, today we're talking about nutrition, a subject near and dear to my heart, and we're specifically referencing nutritionfacts.org, and we're looking at the article Dialing Down the Grim Reaper Gene by Dr. Michael Greger. Now, he's just talked about this 6,000 men and women from over the age of 50 across the U.S. followed for 18 years and finding that those eating excess protein were the ones that were dying most often, most rapidly from cancer. And of course, when I talked about those three squares and protein, 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 we're all getting too much protein. Now, Dr. Greger says that the sponsoring university sent out a press release with a memorable opening line, quote, that chicken wing you're eating could be as deadly as a cigarette. What? What? A university said this, that chicken wing you're eating could be as deadly as a cigarette. That went on to further explain that eating a diet rich in animal proteins during middle age makes you four times more likely to die of cancer than someone with a low protein diet, a mortality risk factor comparable to smoking. Whoa, that is crazy town. When I think about that, I have finished this sentence, then I got to go off on a rant. And when they say low protein diet, what they actually mean is getting the recommended amount of protein, the recommended amount of protein. Because remember, we talked about, oh, the three squares and the animal protein, this and that. when I tell people that I eat plant-based, I usually say vegan. But I think people say they think vegan is like militant and activist and this and that. And yes, I feel militant and activism about being a vegan sometimes. But, you know, people are allowed to eat whatever they want. For me, I'm militant about it. I don't eat meat. I don't eat animal proteins. I just don't. I've done enough research. I've studied this stuff. I know what it does to my body. But really, the thing that everybody always says to me is, as they're licking their ice cream cone and they're morbidly obese, they say, well, where do you get your protein? And I want to say so badly, I want to say back to them, well, where do you get your fiber? You know, like, you got to have this balance in your body. And there's so much protein in broccoli and cauliflower, even apples have protein, even fruits have protein, salad has protein, tofu is made out of beans, and beans are a great source of protein. Okay, back to the article. Dr. Greger says almost everyone is going to have a cancer cell or precancer cell in them at some point. The question is, does it progress? Said one of the lead researchers. Well, that may depend on what we eat. The question is not whether a certain diet allows you to do well for 3 days, a researcher noted, but can it help you survive to be 100? Excessive protein consumption isn't only linked to a dramatic rise in cancer mortality, but middle-aged people who eat lots of proteins from animal sources are also more susceptible to early death in general. Crucially, the same did not apply to plant proteins like beans, and it wasn't the fat. The animal protein appeared to be the culprit. What was the response to this revelation that diets high in meat, eggs, and dairy could be as harmful to health as smoking? One nutrition scientist replied that it was potentially dangerous because it could damage the effectiveness of important public health messages. Why? Because a smoker might think, why bother quitting smoking if my cheese and ham sandwich is just as bad for me? What? Why bother quitting smoking if my cheese and ham sandwich is just as bad for me? You know, that's just crazy. We don't give babies cigarettes, but as soon as they're able to chew, we start giving them baby food made out of beef with molecules 8 times bigger than the molecules in their own bodies. No wonder we're suffering from an obesity crisis. 800% larger molecules going through your body than your body is designed for. It's funny, if you ask kids what are cows for, kids say, oh, they're for milk. No, that milk is for baby cows. It's designed to take a 60-pound infant to a 400-pound being in just a few short months. But we give our own kids milk filled with IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1. It's all over milk. It's all over ice cream. It's all over animal products. Now, Dr. Greger says, this reminds me of a famous Philip Morris cigarette ad that tried to downplay the risks of smoking by saying that if we think secondhand smoke is bad, increasing the risk of lung cancer 19%, drinking 1 or 2 glasses of milk every day may be 3 times as bad, with a 62% higher risk of lung cancer. What's more, doubling the risk is frequently cooking with oil. Tripling our risk of heart disease is eating non-vegetarian, and multiplying our risk 6-fold is eating lots of meat and dairy. So they conclude, let's keep a sense of perspective. The ad goes on to say that the risk of cancer from secondhand smoke may be well below the risk reported for many everyday items and activities. So breathe deep. What is Philip Morris doing anyway? Doing some kind of ads, you know, downplaying the risks of smoking. Come on. That's like saying we shouldn't worry. This is what Dr. Greger says. That's like saying we shouldn't worry about getting stabbed because getting shot is so much worse. Or if we don't wear seatbelts, we might as well have unprotected sex, he says. If we go bungee jumping, we might as well disconnect our smoke alarms at home. Look, 2 risks don't make a right. That's awesome. We always say 2 wrongs don't make a right, right? He says 2 risks don't make a right. Of course, you'll note, Philip Morris stopped throwing dairy under the bus once they purchased Kraft Foods. Isn't that interesting? So Philip Morris, in case you don't know, is a major tobacco producer, a major cigarette producer. So, that was quite the rant on those. So the IGF-1 story is so pivotal that it's one of the first video series that Dr. Greger ever created for nutritionfacts.org. And this was his long-awaited update So if you want a blast from the past, watch the original series on nutritionfacts.org, starting with the video called Engineering a Cure. Remember, nutritionfacts.org is completely free. You can find it on nutritionfacts.org. And then look up Engineering a Cure. You'll be shocked to find all of the information about smoking, about the tobacco industry. Big Tobacco used a lot of really crazy tactics way back in the day when they very first started talking about, the problems with smoking and cancer and all of that. They used crazy tactics. Well, guess what? The big food organizations are now using those same tactics, obfuscating, creating confusion in the marketplace. You know what? I really do know something to be true, and that is this. Confused people do nothing. And if you go into the market, you can find a lot of confusion, can't you, in the market? I mean, you walk into the grocery store and you're at the check stand at Fred's, and there's so much confusion there. There's so much confusion. You'll see so many magazines. They'll say, lose 10 pounds in 10 days on the cupcake diet. Lose 30 pounds in 3 weeks on the apples only diet. What they tell you is that you're going to be able to live this great lifestyle and then go right back to where you were before. But we all know that's bouncing up and down. So let's talk a little bit about how not to die from heart disease, because we know that lifestyle approaches aren't only safer and cheaper, they can work better because they let us treat the actual cause of the disease. All right. So this comes from nutritionfacts.org. Again, welcome to KCIW. Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We're on a little rant today about nutrition and sharing information about plant-based living. So Dr. Greger says the most likely reason most of our loved ones will die is heart disease. It's still up to each of us to make our own decisions as to what to eat and how to live, but we should make these choices consciously, educating ourselves about the predictable consequences of our actions. Wait till you hear this. I'm going to say something that's mind-blowing. Atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, begins in childhood. What? Yes. By age 10, the arteries of nearly all kids raised on the standard American diet already have fatty streaks, the first stage of the disease. Then the plaques start forming in our 20s, get worse in our 30s, and then can start killing us off. In our heart, it's called a heart attack. In our brain, it can manifest as a stroke. So if there's anyone listening to this older than age 10, then the choice isn't whether or not to eat healthy to prevent heart disease. It's whether or not you want to reverse the heart disease you likely already have. Remember, heart disease is the number one killer in the U.S. But is reversing heart disease even possible? Well, we already talked about that earlier, but we're going to talk about it again. When researchers took people with heart disease and put them on the kind of plant-based diet followed by populations that did not get epidemic heart disease, their hope was that it might slow the disease process down, maybe even stop it. But instead, something miraculous happened. The disease started to reverse, to get better. And as soon as patients stopped eating artery-clogging diets, their bodies were able to start dissolving some of that plaque away, opening up arteries without drugs, without surgery, suggesting their bodies wanted to heal all along but were just never given the chance. That improvement in blood flow to the heart muscle itself on the left was just after 3 weeks of eating healthy. So it's the left muscle in the heart. 3 weeks of healthy eating allowed the plaques to begin to dissolve away. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine going into your doctor and your doctor comes back and he says, "Well, Bob, I've got bad news for you. You've got heart disease. Oh, we want to do a triple bypass and we want to do it right now. Right now. We got to do it right now." Well, I'm sorry, but there's a little skeptic in me that says, okay, how much profit is there in heart disease? There's a lot of money on the table in heart disease. There's a lot of money on the table in all dis-ease, and there's not much money on the table in apples, right? I mean, maybe there is a lot of money on the table in apples. I'm sure apple farmers do well. I wonder how much better we could do if we just said, hey, I'm going to give myself 3 weeks, 21 days of eating healthy. You heard what we just said. We just said that you were able to begin dissolving some of the plaque away, opening up the arteries without drugs, without surgery, suggesting that your body wanted to heal all along. Listen to what Dr. Greger says. He says, "Let me share with you what's been called the best kept secret in medicine. The best kept secret in medicine is that sometimes, given the right conditions, the body can heal itself. You know, if you whack your shin really hard on a coffee table, it can get all red, hot, painful, swollen, inflamed, but it'll heal naturally if you just stand back and let your body work its magic. But what if you kept whacking your shin in the same place all day, day after day, in fact, three times a day? Well, think about that. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it would never heal. You'd go to the doctor and be like, "Oh, my shin hurts." And the doctor would be like, "Hey, no problem." They whip out a pad, they'd write you a prescription for painkillers. Meanwhile, you're still whacking your shin three times a day. Oh, it really still hurts like heck. But oh, it feels so much better with those pain pills on board. Thank heavens for modern medicine. Kind of crazy, huh? It's like when people take nitroglycerin for crushing chest pain. Tremendous relief. But you're not doing anything to treat the underlying cause. Our bodies want to come back to health if we let them. But if we keep re-damaging ourselves three times a day, we may never heal. One of the most amazing things Dr. Greger says I learned in all my medical training was that within about 15 years of stopping smoking, your lung cancer risk approaches that of a lifelong non-smoker. Isn't that amazing? Your lungs can clear out all that tar, and eventually, it's almost as if you never started smoking at all. And every morning of our smoking life, that healing process started already during the night. It had already started until wham, our first cigarette of the day, re-injuring our lungs with every puff, just like we can re-injure our arteries with every bite. When all we had to do all along, the miracle cure, is to just stand back, get out of the way, stop re-damaging ourselves, and let our body's natural healing processes bring us back towards health, because the human body is a self-healing machine. Sure, you could choose moderation, hit yourself with a smaller hammer, but why beat yourself up at all? Dr. Greger says, "I don't tell my smoking patients to cut down to half a pack a day. I tell them to quit. Sure, a half a pack is better than two packs a day, yes. But we should try to only put healthy things in our mouths." Look, we've known about this for decades. The American Heart Journal in 1977. Cases like Mr. F.W. here, heart disease so bad he couldn't even make it to the mailbox. But he started eating healthier, and a few months later, he was climbing mountains, no pain. There are all these fancy new anti-angina, anti-chest pain drugs out now. They cost thousands of dollars a year, but at the highest dose, may be able to prolong exercise duration as long as 33 and a half seconds. Woohoo! It does not look like those choosing the drug route will be climbing mountains anytime soon. See, plant-based diets aren't just safer and cheaper. They can work better because you're treating the actual cause of the disease. Isn't that amazing? I love that. I think that's just incredible. Now I want to switch gears and talk about high blood pressure, because it's also one of those diseases. You know, you think about these lifestyle diseases, and we think about lifestyle disease, you know, we don't get to hear that term very often because it puts the onus on us, right? It's so much easier to be a victim. And I hear it all the time in the circles that I run in. People say, "Oh, well, he has cancer," or, "Oh, I have cancer," like, "Oh, I'm such a victim. Oh, golly gosh, poor me." I get it. You know, I get it. I understand. And it's a lot easier to take the victim route than it is to take the victor route. The victor says, "What can I do to be different?" According to everything I've learned, as a nutritional therapist, 97%, up to 97% of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, dementia, all of those major killers can be attributed to your nutritional intake. So it's easy to go, "Oh, well, I have cancer. Oh, it just showed up somewhere." No, it didn't. It didn't. And I'm not, I don't want to be in your face about it. But what I want to say is, if you have cancer, or you have diabetes or heart disease or high blood pressure, these are all lifestyle diseases. And if you're a young person listening here, you can start making choices right now, today. If you're an older person, you can start making choices right now, here, today, to change what's happening on in and around your body and change the expression of your genes. Remember, we're going back to that idea of epigenetics. You're in charge of your genes. They don't control your destiny. You control your genes by what you put on in and around your body. So this is about how not to die from high blood pressure. Again, welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Welcome to KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial right here in Brookings, Oregon. Who would have thunk it? Heaven on earth, Brookings, Oregon. And we get to learn about nutrition. This is awesome. So Dr. Greger, remember, his grandmother was sent to her deathbed and ended up changing her diet within 3 weeks, was walking 10 miles a day at age 65 and lived another 31 years. All right, ready? Here we go. High blood pressure is the number one risk factor for death in the world, affecting nearly 78 million Americans. That's one in three adults. 33% of adults in America are dealing with high blood pressure. And Dr. Greger says, as we age, our pressures get higher and higher, such that by age 60, it strikes more than half. Well, if it affects most of us when we get older, maybe it's less a disease and more just an inevitable consequence of aging. No, he says, we've known since the 1920s that high blood pressure need not occur. Researchers measured the blood pressures of 1,000 people in rural Kenya who ate a diet centered around whole plant foods, whole grains, beans, vegetables, fruit, and dark green leafies. Our pressures go up as we age, their pressures actually go down. And the lower the better. The whole 140 over 90 cutoff is arbitrary. Even people who start out with blood pressures under 120 over 80 appear to benefit from blood pressure reduction. If you went to your doctor with a blood pressure of 120 over 80, you'd get a gold star. But the ideal blood pressure, the no benefit from reducing it further blood pressure, may actually be 110 over 70. 110 over 70? Is it even possible to get blood pressures down that low? It's not just possible, it's normal for those eating healthy enough diets. Over 2 years at a rural Kenyan hospital, 1,800 patients were admitted. Okay, this is interesting. 1,800 patients were admitted. How many cases of high blood pressure did they find? Zero. Let me say that again. Zero. 1,800 patients were admitted. Zero high blood pressure. Wow, they must have had low rates of heart disease. No, they had no rates of heart disease. Not a single case of arteriosclerosis, our number one killer, was even found in that group. So 1,800 people go in, zero high blood pressure, and zero heart disease, which is our number one killer. What's the big difference between the diet? Animal products. Remember, they're eating a whole foods, plant-based diet, fruits, veggies, beans, legumes, whole grains, and green leafies. Now, here's another one. So rural China, too, about 110 over 70 their entire lives, 70-year-olds with the same average blood pressure as 16-year-olds. Now, Africa, China, vastly different diets, but what they shared in common is that they were plant-based day-to-day, with meat only eaten on special occasions. Now, why do we think it's the plant-based nature of their diets that was so protective? Because in the Western world, as the American Heart Association has pointed out, the only folks really getting it down that low were those eating strictly plant-based diets, coming in at about 110 over 65. Could you imagine your blood pressure being 110 over 65? Wouldn't you just be like sending up a big woohoo? Wouldn't that be great? In the meanwhile, instead, we're taking all these heinous drugs that have all kinds of heinous side effects that cost a ton of money out of your budget every month to artificially lower your blood pressure, to dilate your blood vessels so that your blood pressure is artificially reduced, but not dealing with the ultimate cause of your high blood pressure. But interestingly, you, your ears, you're listening to this right now, you can personally change your blood pressure with no diet or with no, you know, medications that have horrible side effects that cost you money and that are completely unnatural chemical processes going on in your body. You can do it because you know about epigenetics. You're learning these processes right now, and you can make these changes. You know what? What does it take? Go get some romaine lettuce. Make a romaine taco for dinner tonight and use beans inside of it to make the taco mix. Don't put any cheese on it. You'd be shocked what you can do with avocados and beans and romaine lettuce. Use the romaine lettuce like a little boat to put your tacos in. It's so good. I keep thinking I should open a vegan restaurant here in town, but I'm retired these days. So Dr. Greger says, this is the largest study of those eating plant-based diets to date. This is interesting. This is fascinating. 89,000 Californians comparing non-vegetarians to so-called semi-vegetarians or flexitarians, meaning those eating meat more on a weekly basis than a daily basis, compared to those who eat no meat except fish, compared to those who eat no meat at all, and then also compared to those who eat no meat, dairy, or eggs. Okay, this is a pretty good study, and it's 89,000 people, so we see all those different components in there. He says, now this was an Adventist study, so even the non-vegetarians didn't eat a lot of meat. And they tended to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and exercised and didn't smoke. So even compared to a group of relatively healthy meat eaters, there appeared to be a stepwise drop in hypertension rates as people ate more and more plant-based. The same thing is true with diabetes and obesity. God, diabetes is such a bummer. And man, we bring it on ourselves. It's a lifestyle disease that we can change. Just like obesity, we can change it. Just like cancer, we can change it. Just like heart disease, we're in charge. That's the part about it that just makes me feel like, gosh, we're in charge of these things. And it's, you know, we talk about farm to table, talk about farm to fork. How about fork to face? That's where you're in charge. Farm to table, forget farm to table, forget farm to fork. Think about fork to face. What is it that you're putting in your body every single day? Because it's making the difference between health and dis-ease, a lack of ease in your body. So Dr. Greger says, so yes, we can wipe out most of our risk eating strictly plant-based, but it's not all or nothing. It's not black or white. Any movement along the spectrum towards eating healthier can accrue significant health benefits. You can show this experimentally. You can take vegetarians, you give them meat, and pay them enough to eat it, and their blood pressures go up. Or you remove meat from people's diet and drop, boom, blood pressures go down in just 7 days. And this is after the vast majority reduced or stopped taking their blood pressure medications completely. They had to stop all their medications. Why? Because their blood pressure went down normally, naturally, on their own when they changed their fork-to-face ratio. Once you treat the cause, once you eliminate the disease, you can't be on blood pressure pills with normal blood pressure. You could drop your blood pressure too low, get dizzy, fall over, hurt yourself. So your doctor has to pull you off the pills. Lower pressures on fewer drugs. That's the power of plants. So does the American Heart Association recommend a no-meat diet? Nope. They recommend a low-meat diet, the so-called DASH diet. Well, why not completely plant-based? When the DASH diet was being created, were they just not aware of this landmark research done by Harvard's Frank Stacks? No, they were fully aware. The chair of the design committee that came up with the DASH diet was Frank Stacks. This is interesting. Listen to this. See, the DASH diet was explicitly designed with the number one goal of capturing the blood pressure lowering benefits of a vegetarian diet, yet contain enough animal products to make it palatable to the general population. In other words, they didn't think the public could handle the truth. Isn't that amazing? Because we're so married to all the stuff that we start eating as babies. Remember what I said earlier that we don't give kids cigarettes. We don't give a brand new baby a cigarette. You wouldn't even think to blow cigarette smoke into a baby's face. But, oh, look, we're at the holiday celebration and there's sausages and we give the baby sausage like, oh my God, sausage, it contains the stuff to make anal cancer. I'm not making this stuff up. It's what it does. We make them baby foods. We give them pureed turkey and pureed chicken and pureed lamb and pureed beef. So it's in our genes. It's in our cellular memory to want and love animal products because it's part of our culture. It's automatic part of our culture, but they didn't think the public could handle the truth. Now, back to Dr. Greger and off of my rant. In their defense, Dr. Greger says, you can see what they were thinking. Just like drugs never work unless you actually take them, diets never work unless you actually eat them. So they're like, look, no one is going to eat strictly plant-based. So if they soft-pedal the message and came up with some kind of compromise diet, then maybe, on a population scale, they'd do more good. Okay, Dr. Greger says, tell that to the 1,000 American families every single day that lose a loved one to high blood pressure. Maybe it's time to start telling the American public the truth. Whoa, that's mind-blowing. We all know someone who has high blood pressure. Maybe it's you. Did you hear what Dr. Greger said? In 7 days of removing animal products from your diet, your blood pressure isn't maybe going to go down, isn't probably going to go down. Your blood pressure will go down to the point where people have to sometimes stop taking their medications. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a science geek. I love this stuff. I read it. I study it all the time. I'm into nutrition. I have a couple of certificates. I eat this way myself. I don't eat plants. I do eat plants. I don't eat animals. And I do it because I feel good. And I want you to feel good. I want you to feel great. And I want you to build health and harmony inside your body, harmony in your cells, not dis-ease, but complete and total ease in your own body, where you can feel comfortable and confident, knowing that you're not creating a genetic engine for cancer, a genetic engine for high blood pressure, a genetic engine that is an engine of your own creation. You're the one that picks the fuel. You're the one that decides what goes on the end of the fork and how the fork goes to your face. It's all in your hands. You get to decide it. You get to choose it. You're in charge of your outcome. Take it seriously. And remember earlier in our conversation when I asked the question, I said a couple of things. I said, there's a question I love, which is that the answer is always no unless you ask. The answer is always no unless you ask. And then remember I said, most people would say yes to the question of, do you think you could improve your diet? Most people would say yes. And then you might ask them, well, what would you do to improve your diet? And they might say, I don't know. But now you do know. And remember that follow-up question whenever you don't know something is to say, I don't know. And then you follow it right up with, but if I did know, what would I do? I love that question. It's been transformative in my life. And I hope this one episode of the Ocean Mist Power Hour could be transformative in your life. That maybe, just maybe, you heard something today that could help you make a decision to eat a more healthy lifestyle, to stop eating molecules that are 800% bigger. That's just beef. I don't know the molecular structure of chicken, turkey, lamb, fish. I don't know. I know all of those other animal proteins are not healthy for you. And I'm going to encourage you to pick up an apple today and crunch into it. I'm going to encourage you to eat salad and tofu and beans and corn and everything that grows out of the ground. And I'm going to thank you for joining us here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, right here on KCIW 100.7 FM, broadcasting out of Brookings Harbor, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet, as you know, because you're here, you live here. And if you don't live here, come visit us. This is the place where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea. It's where Harbor Brookings is home to me. Thank you again to our sound engineer, Pi White, and thank you to our listening audience for joining us. Great to have you here. We'll see you again soon on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Goodbye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.